Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto, and he's pressing nothing left. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. Big ups to all the mad dads all over the country. Man, big ups. Men Against Destruction, defending against drugs and social disorder. Let me tell you something. Okay, so we got a new president. We got a new president in town. We got seem to have some issues, and it seems to be coming from around the president's camp. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure, but... The surgence of the Ku Klux Klan and groups that feel that they are superior to others amazes me. And so the reason why it amazes me is because when you think back, on where we came from, when you think back on slavery and all that we went through, and when you think about the United States of America, it was the Native Americans were the first here. And the Native Americans were kind and gentle people. And then folks from Britain came over and kind of took stuff. And so the Native Americans are in their camps and they're in different areas of the United States, and they've been pushed back on the reservations, and it's not fair. But then here comes this same race of people that are saying we are the pure race and we feel like we are superior and there is no, you know, and we should kill all the blacks and do this. There was a guy on YouTube that had bullets that had Black Lives Matter on all the bullets. And he said, Black Lives Matter enough for me to shoot somebody with each one of these bullets. And why are you shooting somebody because they're black? Why are you shooting somebody because of the color of their skin? Why do you feel necessary for you to be violent? I've got Damien in the studio with me from No Locked Doors. And as a young person, I grew up in the 60s, and so I've seen some of this. But in his age, I don't think he's seen it at this level that we're at right now. So I want to talk to Damien a little bit. Thank you, Damien, for being with us today. Let's talk a little bit about how you feel about this surge of, you know, racial energy that's going on in our nation.
Honestly, I feel like it's kind of necessary for change, the uneasiness that's going on, but if it's channeled in the right direction. We obviously know that there's a lot of injustices going on in America, and that we're not at the top of the totem pole as far as opportunity. So this is just another way for society to distract us from the main goal of us getting together. That's how I feel. I feel like they want to make us put fear into our hearts, like, okay, this is what's going on, that you all can never, there's no way for hope for you guys, when that's in actuality, that's a lie. So I feel like this mainstream media's approach to just control the minds at this point, because I know it's not a Ku Klux Klan walking down the blocks that I visit every day. So that's not our immediate issues.
That's right. I agree with that. It's not, but they're trying to make it your immediate issue. And the other thing is that callers, you can call in, and that number is 347-215-9262. That's 347-215-9262. And, you know, one of the things is that our young, especially African-American men, have enough that they're worried about getting shot by their own people. Now we got to worry about getting shot by a Caucasian racist folks in our community that will say they will just blow up stuff and shoot up folks. And, you know, how much more tragedy can our young black kids take?
Honestly, history tells us that we are resilient people, you know? So, like, I wonder if the slaves felt that way when they, you know, back in the day. So I feel like what we're what we endure today is not, it's different, but it's not as tough as being a slave. So it's harder because we have so much moving so fast, and it's the pace of life is fast. So our youth can't decipher what's right. So if we have more input in our youth lives as positive adults, if we show them different ways and show them different opportunities and expose them to positive images, then I think that we could tackle the first issue, which is our division amongst ourselves. Because once we get that solved, then we can always talk about what's going on in the society as a whole. But we, our society as individuals, is what we should be focused on, because we, as the youth, like you said, we already have too much to focus to worry about being killed, and those are the things we should be doing as like KKK. Like I, like you said, I'm young, I never dealt with them, so it's just a problem. Just it's like adding a bunch of invisible problems to real problems. It shouldn't be, you know.
You know what really strikes me is when I think about all the young brothers and sisters that are in the midst of those sick people, and that really truly have to worry about their lives, because they're plotting to hurt, and they're plotting to not even rape and injure innocent individuals. These are folks that are just trying to go to school, just trying to get education, and they're having meetings about how they're going to attack certain groups and what they're going to do to them.
Now, that's sad. Like, that part about it, I really don't like. You know, like, now if it's targeted, if people are being targeted, like, it's, then that's a whole different strategy that needs to become, like, you need to, I don't want to say get your defense in order, but you do need to be aware that it can happen anywhere and that it is being planned against, you for, you know, it's planned for it. It's sad.
It is sad, and in America, we need our president to denounce this kind of stuff and just really, you know, when he said it's bad on all ends, well, you know, here are people talking about they're going to kill, you know, and Black Lives Matter, they never said that. They said they're going to protest, but here are people saying they're going to kill, and I think that. It's important to us, I think, it's important for us to understand that we've got so much that we're dealing with, but the last thing we need is a group of white folks saying that they're going to hurt us. You know, we have a lot that we're already dealing with, and we really do need. We want to say thanks to Damien. Damien, if people want to get in touch with No Locked Doors, they want to get involved in a youth program, they want to do some stuff with you, who do they call and how do they get in touch with yourself?
You can go on nolockdoors.org. That's NOLOCKDOORS.org. Or give me a call at 312-414-5988. We have youth programs in the North and South Minneapolis to teach youth leadership skills, music business, entrepreneurship, and audio recording.
Thank you very much, Damien, for being on the show. No Locked Doors, man. I look forward to talking to you soon. I love you, brother. You know that. Ain't nothing but a chicken wing. That's how we do it up in here at the KMOJ. Not KMOJ. Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio. Did I say KMOJ?
Yes, you did.
And big ups to KMOJ. How y'all doing? Listen, the mayor was still home when his phone started ringing. The reverend was still down with the flu when he began getting one message after another. Valerie Flamber had just dropped off her daughters at daycare when she heard, "Have you seen the sign in the square?" A parent asked her on a cold morning 3 weeks ago. "There's a Ku Klux Klan sign in the town square." And in fact, there was. Just past the old brick courthouse and across the street from candy stores and antique shops, a large rectangular banner was screwed tight into the cracked wood siding of a long vacant building on East Main Street. the historic Ku Klux Klan meeting hall. It said, wow, that's sad. The Ku Klux Klan feels a need and a desire to make a comeback.
And I don't see why.
Why?
I really don't see why. Well, I just got up here 4 years ago, but 2 years ago, a lady told me that she was driving south, and she seen a burning of a cross. And she stopped to take pictures, and I was like, why would you stop? I said, because if it's still here in our society today, you really don't want to be around that. And that was scary, just to even take a picture of a burning cross.
That is scary. And then one of the slogans is, make America white again, and the greatness will follow. Who was here first in America?
I thought the African was.
Native Americans. So why not make America great again and give the Native Americans a little
back
their land?
Right. That's the whole point.
And then greatness will really follow.
Yes.
Colorado already said they got two notes that said, we're going to blow up all you refugees. Now, how does that make people feel? You're going to blow up all the refugees? That's got to make people feel really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe that. What?
But what labels them as refugees? Because remember the...
Anything non-white is a refugee. But I'm just trying to understand, when you raping them black girls and they have babies by you, what are you doing then?
Exactly. That's still a refugee.
I mean, are you treating a refugee then?
Yeah, you are. You really are.
Yeah, you're creating that, you know. And so what do you think we should do?
In my opinion, I think we need to pray more and come together as unity for real, because if they take over and bring back KKK, I really don't know what we're going to do, because that's scary. That's scary.
Well, what would you do if you seen a Klan member? What would you say to him if he said, we're going to make America white again and make it great? What would you say?
Actually, I wouldn't know what to say. I really wouldn't, because in my family, it is white and black. But I don't think we had any Klan members in our family, but we did have a lot of white people in our family. My grandfather was totally white, and he was a slave owner, but...
Your grandfather was white?
Yeah, and he was a slave owner.
So you're part white?
Yes.
And did you try to hide that? Because you never tell anybody, you know?
No, actually I don't. That's why I tell people I don't look at people as black and white, because you never know how close white is in your family.
Because you are white, so you can't look at it as anybody.
I'm partial, yes.
What is your percentage of white?
My father is half white, half black.
Okay, wow. And is he still alive?
No.
And when did he die?
When I was 7.
Wow, he died really young, huh? Wow. Well, that's interesting, because, you know, people would look at you and say,
Well, a couple of my closest friends say I'm the blackest, whitest girl you ever going to meet. And it's because I listen to all music. I don't just listen to one kind of music.
Okay, you listen to all kinds of music.
All kinds. Country, so, everything.
So our young people, Damien responded and said that he feels that we have to learn as young people what to do, really, because a lot of young people have never experienced this. What do we tell the elders now? This is coming back. What do we say to our elders? They're looking up saying, I thought we took care of this.
I'm with them, because I don't think I could have survived KKK. The Klan's around. I really couldn't have. I have a mouth on me, and I know they would have killed me 12 times over.
So, if an elder asked you, how did this happen? What is your response?
Too many of those secret backroom meetings. Too many of them.
Right.
And that's how they're getting bigger, because they're getting power by all these meetings, and we don't know what's going on, and a lot of them are in our backyard.
Innocent people
mm-hmm.
are going to get hurt. just like in our, just like in gangs, innocent people get hurt.
Yes.
These people start running around and hurting and killing people, and they're going to be people that are innocent, that are going to be walking down the street, minding their own business, not bothering anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That little girl coming home from college, or the little boy coming from his after-school program or from his job, that those parents, because somebody will probably die. And when that happens, they're going to hurt somebody innocent, and then the black community is going to be in an uproar.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys that, neo-Nazis or whatever they are, they're doing this, you know, it makes you think, why, what's the motivation really? You know, because you buy products when rap music comes on, everything's
mm-hmm.
touched by black people.
Uh-huh.
Music, food, everything. If you had to say, I don't want anything that's connected to black people in my life, you'd have to do it without a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
So, how, if you had to instruct somebody,
uh-huh.
especially parents, on what to do, especially if they live down south, but it's bad up here too, but
it's really bad
especially
down
live
south.
Down south. What would you tell parents to do? You can't make your kids stay in the house all the
no.
time.
No.
What do you tell them to do?
My opinion is we have to come together as a community and protect our kids and our elders. So I don't think no one should be outside by themselves. If you walk in groups, it's hard to take us down as groups. It really is. But if you find an individual by themselves, that's how you mess with people.
Have you ever experienced racism?
Not really. Only through school, but that's normal stuff.
Well, do you really think it's normal? I think it's not normal.
It's not normal, but I mean, I've heard the different languages being called to the kids, which they shouldn't be calling out their names, but yeah, I've heard it, and that's about it. There's nothing normal about a child being called out their name.
Did you go to a segregated school?
No. My grammar school was all black, my high school was all black, and then both my colleges were mixed. And I made sure they were mixed.
Mm.
No.
In our community right now, we're facing some tough times. Not only are we facing the fact that black boys are killing black boys.
It's crazy.
And the drugs, the heroin is killing our black men. Cocaine is destroying the family still, and alcoholism is at all-time high. And people are smoking cigarettes and killing themselves like never
mm-hmm.
before. Then you add on top of that that there's some white men that are looking to hurt you and kill you because of the color of your skin.
Yep.
It's hard to be a father and a leader with all that against you.
It is. And that's why I said we have to come together as a community, because it's hard to take us down as a group. It really is. And we have to stop bonding. We have to stop bonding with our people. And our people, we're so much of just doing for I, we have to start this we process all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we bond as a group, it's hard. But if you can get one person, it's easy to take that one person out.
Well, one of the things that come on in, Cece. We have Cece here, and we want to ask her a question. She tried to get away, but we got her in here. Cece, you know, we're talking about the racism, the Ku Klux Klan, and as a younger mother, what are your thoughts about the Klan making this resurgent and bringing these young leaders in to say that if it's white, it's right?
I think they're brainwashing our youth. You're not born racist. You don't, see color. So I just think it's bad. And things are just getting worse. And, I fear for my children, honestly. So I just hope that we could come together, black, white, blue, purple, doesn't matter, and just get this thing under control and just stop all the hatred. Nobody's better than anybody because of their color of their skin or their background where they came from. Seriously.
When you say, I fear for my children, what kind of fear do you have?
Well, it's just a lot going on with, you know, everything you see in the news with, you know, blacks are scared when they're getting pulled over nowadays. So it's like, okay, don't make quick movement. Make sure your hands are where they can see them when you get pulled over. It can be something as simple as a headlight out.
Mm-hmm.
But you just, you know, just have to be very cautious because these police officers just, I don't know, aren't thinking. Just dropping the ball. And not to say any of them are bad, but it's just a very tragic and bad mistake. And I don't know if that's for all of them, but, you know, something's got to change. And I say I fear for my children because things always get worse before they get better. I don't know, and honestly, I don't see it getting better. I hope it does, but I think things are just going to keep getting worse before they do get better. And unfortunately, that's going to be an era where my children are growing. So just making sure that I keep them knowledgeable about what's going on and how they deal with, you know, those situations and everything, and make sure they keep love in their hearts as well.
So, when you think about the crisis that we're up against now with the Ku Klux Klan, when you think about the crisis we're up against now with black-on-black violence, as a mother, does it double and increase the fear that you have based upon now? Not only are you afraid that black folks are going to kill your babies, but you're afraid that white folks are going to kill your babies too.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, I mean, like you said, it's, you can't get away from it. So, I mean, what do I do? Do I stay in my community and, you know, then scared that, you know, we catch a stray bullet because bullets don't, you know, have a name on it? Or do I try to get out to the suburbs but have to deal with, you know, my children feel out of place and we're getting looked at weird or, you know, get mistreated? So what do I do?
Well, that's a good question. And if you had advice for our president, what would you tell our president, you know, right now? If the president called you and said, CeCe, what should I do? What would you
I'll
tell
I'll probably
him?
Hang up on. Stop tanning so much. No. Honestly, I don't know.
Is he a part of the problem?
Definitely. Definitely. Racism existed. It has always existed. The thing is, since he's been in presidency, it's just been, people been more bold with it. I've seen a lot of videos on Facebook of people, you know, saying, oh, I'm at Sam's Club, and this person just called me, you know, the N-word, and this, you know, and they're just going out there with pride doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hiding it anymore. So that's, you know, there was a saying, I guess, fake love is worse than real hate. But, it's like, is it better that we know that the person that we were working with is a racist because now they're out there with it, or was it better when they were hiding it? You know, so it's just, yeah, it's sad, like I said. I really don't know. I don't know what I would tell our president. I don't even know if I would want to speak to him at all just because of the mindset I know he's in. And, if he's out here in the public doing that and saying things he does, what difference would I make saying these things to him? You know? So, just, I don't know. I don't think I would have a great impact on him because nobody else has. He's sitting up here, he sees everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I believe that you're going to say something?
When the president was saying the crazy comments the other day, I thought about it. Why is it that no presidential or president that we know of actually is affiliated with a church? They never say their spiritual background. Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that is, because I think if they had God in their heart or God in their world, their daily activities, it might actually help us actually being a president. And no one...
Yeah, under God we trust, right?
I'm just saying, it says it on the money, and God we trust. But I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know what? Even back in history, it never said what religion every president was under. And I don't know why. Because don't we need God in order to run this country?
Mm-hmm. We definitely need God to run this country. Doesn't the dollar bill say, in God we trust?
Yep. So why they never say their religious background when they're president?
Well, they show themselves going to church and stuff like that. They show that. And tickets. And so we believe that they try to keep their religious stuff as private as much, because if they're Lutheran or Catholic or whatever, they don't want to be promoting that, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they're the president of the United States. And that's kind of personal for them, their wife, and their kids, you know, so that's probably why they keep it like that. But we do know that there was a president that allowed prayer to be taken out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you let that happen? It's one of the worst things to happen. We
it
need our kids
is.
Praying.
Yep.
And just because somebody came in atheist and didn't like God at all, one woman was able to change that.
Yep.
And we have not been able to get prayer back in school since. I want my kids
prayer,
praying.
Then national anthem.
I want my grandkids praying. I want everybody praying around me.
Because
prayer truly works. Prayer truly, truly works.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talked about the Klan, we talked about the impact, we talked about how they're reoccurring. But what do we have to do as African Americans to counteract that? So in my age, I say, wow, we got to get back into the community. We got to empower our young people. We got to educate them, and we got to motivate them. Okay, that's my age group. What does your age group have to do, Cece?
I mean, basically what you just said. I mean, we do have to educate them, make sure they're aware of everything that's going on. They're just so in their own world. They don't really know what's going on. Like I said, so much social media out here. They're not worried about all this other stuff that's going on. They're worried about fighting each other and Jordans, fighting over Jordans, and just stuff that, you know, shouldn't be a big priority. But that's more what they're concerned about, looks and everything, who looks better. And so.
Now, just to say this, what I believe has happened is that I believe the society created that.
Mm-hmm.
That we'll create all these distractions. The video games. Sometimes I'll be looking at fights, I'll be like, that's crazy. You know, there was one site I just accidentally came on and the thing flashed. Are you horny? I am. Call me now. I'm like, what? I am not even trying to get there. I'm looking at something else. How did that happen?
Right.
I mean, there's so many distractions. What about what we're supposed to be thinking about, raising our kids, making this community a better place, making this nation better. This whole thing about making this, you bring the Vietnamese in, you bring the Japanese people in, you bring the Africans in, you bring the Nigerians, the Ethiopians in, and then you say, let's make America white again? Then why did you bring all those people in? Now, does it make sense?
No.
And you're still
they're
bringing
a stepping stone, just, you know,
right.
Using them as a stool to help get where they need to be at.
But those people,
that's why they brought us over here, Africans over here in the first place, right?
Those people are all going to
America.
Those people are all going to retaliate on you. Before I let Cece say her last words of wisdom to everybody, it is. Thank you for listening to Blog Talk. Big ups to everybody all across the country: Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Dallas, Minneapolis. I love you all so much. Cece, give us some last words.
Y'all have a blessed day.
That's it.
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. I like that. Okay, everybody, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for being in Blog Talk Radio. God bless you all.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, because you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto, and he's pressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Bad dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me, what was I to do? All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers.